The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to get the automatic bye.
Big Ten regular season over. Oregon undefeated 12-0 in their first outing with the Big Ten Conference play. A special season.
This is a Big Ten Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Online at modspdx.com.
Dirt and Spray on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Season's not over yet.
The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland. Sports leader 1080. The Fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
This little Thursday morning.
This is a nice little Thursday morning. Inching closer to vacation, man. It's almost the holidays. It's sneaking up on me. Already December 5th. Month's going way too quick.
I'm enjoying the extremely cold but sunny days we've been having over a week.
Delightful, isn't it?
It's perfect.
A little windy, a little goosty out there.
I can deal with that.
We lost power yesterday for about 2 minutes, and I had a panic mode because it was late at night, and so there wasn't not a single light in the house. Couldn't see anything. Teddy Ballgame was in his little, like, he's got one of those wheelie things that he runs around in.
Where his, like, little feeties
move. Yeah, his little feeties move it. He loves that thing.
Those are good for them.
He cruises around the entire house.
Oh, yeah.
And then the lights just went, and I'm like, uh-oh, where is he? Cell phone light, where Teddy? Teddy! Trying to, and then thankfully it came back on. It was a brief panic mode last night.
Anybody alive?
Anybody there?
One of my all-time favorite lines that I'll say and nobody gets. You ever just quote a movie, nobody ever gets it? That's me. I always do that. I do the Titanic guy in the boat. Anybody alive out there? Nobody right knows what that's from. They're like, what are you talking about?
Nobody
like
gets that one.
For Kate Winslet on the door. Yeah. She should have let Leo stay up there with him. Come on.
I love the, like, we've done this. People do this with The Office where they revisit it and they're like, you know, Pam was actually a pretty big villain.
Everybody says that.
Everybody does
Everybody
this.
Everybody
I love
that.
When I randomly stumble across one of those threads, like, name me a movie villain that doesn't get the credit for being a movie villain, and Rose is the movie villain.
Ooh.
For one, letting him die. I mean, there was room on the door. What are we doing? And then two, she finds a family, has a husband. She struggles. Husband works for 80 years. She's got this diamond necklace at the end of the movie that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
The heart of the ocean.
And she just throws it into the ocean at the end of the movie.
So a couple things on that.
What are we doing?
One, there is actually a deleted scene they took out of the movie that if you go and search it, it is her in that scene throwing it. But it's Bill Paxton's character and one of the other people on the boat watch her do it.
Yeah, they caught her doing it.
And
they're
like, no!
No!
And she just turns around this old bag. She's like, and first of all, I'm like, you wouldn't react that way. You just showed us you have the technology to go down to the Titanic. You just go down there and grab that
She's
thing.
Jump in the submarine immediately. Go find that thing now.
The underrated part of that, what you say is also she's retelling the story of the Titanic when she's like an 80, 90-year-old woman, right?
Yes.
How does her daughter feel because she had a daughter with another random guy that we never know.
Like, never meet him. The whole random story guy,
like a husband, like a lifelong partner here.
Yes. And the story's basically, the love of my life died when I was 20, and all of this has been whatever. I'm going to die and go down to the boat now, and I'm going to be in Leo's arms in my afterlife. Never mind my husband who gave me everything, including these children.
Yes.
It's an underrated villain.
I care about some dirty old dude that I met on this boat 70 years ago
for like 4 days. He had sex with him one time.
He drew me like a French girl. We had sex in a car.
Yeah, people paid him a dime to do that. It wasn't that great.
What are we doing, man? Come on.
Really made those breasts pop, though, didn't
he? They did. They absolutely did.
That's how they did it PG-13, if you notice. The in person, it was only one. Mm. She never showed two. It's just one.
If you show two, that's the difference in the rating?
Well, see, the
PG and R, that's the difference?
The MPAA has
one boob or two boobs?
They've got some, it's not like this like hard line between PG-13 and R. They kind of make decisions based on every movie that they'll watch. But I think for that one, they said, one is okay, two is sexual. We ain't doing this. Yeah, but kids could see it because it was one.
I would have guessed that that movie was rated R, to be honest with you.
PG-13,
no way. Think so?
It's not very graphic.
There's boobs, there's people dying at the end.
There's one boob.
People falling off the top of the boat when it goes down.
But Jurassic Park
impaled.
Is PG-13, and there's a lawyer quite literally gets eaten off a toilet.
That's ridiculous. It should be rated R. What do we do?
Really?
Protect the kids. Come on.
Oh, you're that guy.
Kids can't see this stuff.
Kate Winslet was just on 60 Minutes, as I sound so old saying that out loud.
That is one of the oldest things you've ever said on the show.
She seems like one of the better Hollywood people we should be supporting.
Yes.
Just like down to earth. Who cares that I'm a celebrity? This is stupid. Yeah. I just do movies. I have fun with it.
I act.
She saw one of the violinists from the movie when the boat's going down. Like, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen. And it's just playing.
I love that GIF. I love using that one. Whenever something's going bad, it's the guy's, it's been an honor going down.
One of those guys is a real violinist. Mm. And in the 60 Minutes piece, she recognizes him in a crowd of violinists because they're working on some musical project. And she runs up to him and, like, hugs. She knew his name.
Remembered everything about him. That's pretty badass.
It's like, those are the celebrities we should be giving attention to.
Yes.
When we give them attention, instead of, like, you know, we are the world.
Or Hawk Tua having a Bitcoin. Is that
a meme coin?
A meme coin. I don't even know what that means. There's another old thing for me. Her Mayor of Easttown show a couple of years ago, really good.
Is it good?
On HBO. That was a really good.
I haven't seen it.
It's one-off, one season. You know, it's kind of like a, I don't know, different, not quite True Detective, but it's a detective show where she's the sheriff. They're trying to solve a murder and that kind of thing. That was a really good show.
I had a delightful little Wednesday yesterday, and I think I've come to the conclusion I was gallivanting around the city.
Yeah.
I think I've come to the conclusion, have you ever prepared for where you're going to live, but you're not going to live there for at least 20 years?
You're planning ahead, retirement spread?
Kind of retirement spray, like back end maybe of career if I don't get fired at some point.
Yeah, we're still employed.
Still employed, but we're like the old fuddy-duddies doing this. I think I've concluded of where I'm going to live in Portland if I never move.
Where are we going?
Ooh. I think I'm going to live like near Franklin High School.
You want to be up by Powell?
Really?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
I really love that area. I love the old-timey feel of the houses. I think the neighborhoods are really cool. I like being close to downtown, but like still in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's kind of my
decent
dream
restaurants
spot.
That are
really
in that
cool
area.
Spots. There's so many cool little coffee shops and restaurants and little businesses.
Yeah, if you go down that area of like Division is really nice too.
That's
like,
where I was.
Yeah, Division used to be when I grew up in Southeast Portland. It was not, you know, not much to go on Division.
Yeah.
And now that, I mean, there's a cutoff, like, you know, the further up you go on the street numbers, eventually you hit a point where you're like, I don't know if I want to live on this part of Division. Mm-hmm. But when you're south of those numbers, a lot of cool stuff going on.
100%.
Really cool things. We missed something yesterday.
Did we?
We did, yeah.
What did we miss yesterday?
Big breaking news yesterday.
Oh.
Big time breaking news.
We had a show with breaking news.
We had
and
a show with
it?
Breaking news. We didn't even talk about it on the air.
Okay.
That's how distracted we got on the air. It was your birthday yesterday.
Hey! Oh, happy birthday. Spring.
Happy birthday. Chicks dig it. Chicks are digging it.
My wife was great yesterday. I don't know what to do for birthdays. I'm really bad at that. Gift giving and like planning for birthdays.
Yeah.
What do you do? I don't often like know what to do. My wife just kind of like spearheaded everything.
Just had it, took the day off work.
Yeah.
Took you out to dinner, it sounds like. Lunch or something.
We went and got pie.
Oh.
I love pie. I'm a pie over cake guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Not that pie. That was later.
Right in the butt.
Went to a pie place over in the area I speak of and got like 9 slices of pie.
Just count out on some
pie. Happy birthday to spring. It's a whole pie.
9 different pieces of pie or one pie?
No, like 9 different slices.
Different slices.
Wow. Well, if you go into a pie joint.
Taste them all.
Yeah.
You catch them all, man.
And then I kept them and we saved them for the kiddos later after school. Went and got some books. Went to a bookstore in downtown.
You.
Trendy little bookstore.
You are so old.
I am so old. I did.
You are so old. You ate pie. You went out for an afternoon pie and into a bookstore.
Yeah, you need to go to the closed Sherry's here.
I'm guessing that there was a coffee involved. Did you get a coffee at some? You, I mean, you got to go to a coffee place.
I went to the most Portland coffee shop you've ever seen in your life. There was an old window hanging inside as like a divider wall, but it was an old window that, you know, could be restored, but wasn't because it's cool and trendy.
Lady have green hair and gauges.
There was a nose ring, like a bowl
the
type
big bowl
nose
one.
Ring.
Yeah.
In Southeast Portland, baby.
Oh, it's great.
Let's go, Portlandia.
Had an old lady who had a knitted wool cap on, and I'm just like, look at all this Patagonia gear. Oh, we're in Portland.
Yeah, I felt bad. I don't know how you are, Schulte, with birthdays. I don't know anybody's birthday. Like, I know generally the area of your... I know your birthday's in December.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you the day to save my life. And I didn't know until after the show, Russ comes walking in. You're like, we're done with the show. We're like, hey, what are we going to do tomorrow? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Russ walks in the door. Hey, happy birthday, Sprague. It's like, what? It's your birthday? I had no clue.
I guess that was the one advantage of Facebook. I think I'm like you guys, where unless it's my best friend, and honestly, for about a decade and a half, my best friend's birthday is like 9 days after mine, and I couldn't ever remember the exact date.
You just know it's in the ballpark
now,
of when
your
birthday
remember
is.
Yours?
Huh?
Does your best friend remember yours?
He does. He's been very good at it over the years. And
then you feel guilty about it.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I got to step my effing game up. But, you know, I remember my wife's, my direct family's, but outside of that, Facebook back in the day really helped with that. It was like, oh, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday.
Yes.
So then I'd go to text them and like, oh, thank you.
Now, I don't think... It was funny when Russ said that because I didn't know how Russ had set. How did Russ know? And then he reminded me Facebook. And I'm like, oh, God, that's right.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook anymore, so I don't know when anybody's birthday is. Yeah.
But it was funny.
Just in a while.
I don't really have much of an expectation for anybody to know my birthday. And it doesn't even bother me if you don't know it. It's just funny to do a show with somebody for this long.
No clue.
And he's still like caught off guard as if he just met me. Hey, oh, it's your birthday.
It's your birthday today. Today's your birthday. Dude, I got a group chat with buddies who I've been friends with for 20 years. And every time it's somebody's birthday in the chat, I'm always the last one to chime in. So somebody else will remember it's their
You're
birthday.
You're waiting for somebody to indicate it's the birthday. So you can, happy birthday.
And then
birthday.
You get 6 happy birthday texts, and then you jump in. You're like, hey, happy birthday, buddy. Hey, happy birthday. I'm never the one that spearheads the happy birthday to everybody else.
You're like
else.
The two wise men with like the frankincense and myrrh that went with the other one that brought gold to see Jesus. You're like, I'm here too. Throw them together.
Here's some gold.
Now, your birthday is interesting because I'm usually not very good at memorizing birthdays either. Yours is in my brain because for some reason, when I started doing radio on the Fan, I did it with him and I did it with another guy that we used to work with named Taylor Danforth. And I don't know how, one, we even came to do a show together. It's just kind of weird and cosmic in some ways.
Yeah, random happenstance.
But also, here's the weird part. His birthday, Dirt's birthday, is a day after my mom's.
Yeah.
And then Danforth's birthday is a day after my little brother's.
Huh.
So my mom and my little brother, the 19th and the 23rd.
So you could remember those and you know it's the day after that.
Somehow,
it's
like,
natural.
You guys just happen to be aligned with those birthdays, so they kind of connect in my brain in that way. That's the only way I know your birthday.
Yes. You have to have some sort of connection like that. Or it's the same birthday, or it's like, all I can tell you is I know my parents' birthday. I know my brother's birthday. I know my wife's birthday.
And you know Teddy's.
And Teddy's. That's
it. Do you know anybody else?
That's all I got.
You don't have one relative or
nieces and nephews,
friend?
I know the ballpark.
You know the month.
I know the month, I think, mostly.
I think I know my nieces and my nephews.
Well, I couldn't tell you the date to save my life.
I have nieces and nephews in Tacoma I hate to say this out loud, I don't really have much relationships with. I can tell you ballpark.
Yeah.
The it's ones like down here I know, I can tell you.
You can tell you right off the top of your head.
Well, I have a niece and a nephew. And they're on the same day. They're just different months.
Oh.
Like it's the 27th, but in different months.
That makes it easier to remember.
Way easier to remember.
Yeah, mine is looming because the national championship is on my birthday this year.
Dirt has a Oregon national championship game looming on his birthday.
And it's not my birthday's inauguration day. It's
and
always been inauguration
Trump's gonna
day.
Trump's going to be back in office. So it's going to be an interesting little day for Andy Dirt Johnson on the 20th of
January.
It's
going to be a day. I might be in Atlanta. I might not. Maybe my heart breaks before that. But I hope to not have my heart broken on my birthday.
So, yeah, thank you to my wife yesterday. She threw a delightful little birthday. It was a great, fun day for me.
What are we, 37 now?
We're
we
38.
38.
We're 38.
Wow, you're old. You got old balls over there.
They're getting lower and lower.
Dragging down your knees at this point? Holy hell, man.
Touch the toilet water yet, sir?
Long ball spray,
long ball
man.
Spray.
You're dipping them in the water. It's like a bidet.
I had an encounter for the first time in my life with a legitimate, and I'm not exaggerating for radio, a legitimate Jerry Seinfeld low talker. Walking from the bookstore. We're walking back to our car. We're leaving. I had a guy from one local organization. Hey, we're with so-and-so. And I said, oh, yeah, I support that. And wearing a vest.
Yeah.
Talking normal. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to the spiel. You know, like, okay, I'm in a good mood. And I'm not kidding. He goes, oh, we're with this local place. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want to say? And he goes, well, I'm and my wife and me are maybe a foot away from this guy, and we cannot hear him.
Are you just nodding your head yes as he's talking?
Yeah, and then he kind of stops. I ask a follow-up, and I swear to God, it got lower. It was like...
Oh,
and I'm watching my wife in my side view. She's leaning in to hear him. No idea what he said, and I said, we support the movement. It was like abortion protection. Yeah. We support it. I'll look into it. See you later.
Yeah, okay, I'm on it. I'll go research.
I'd never experienced that in my life. The lowest talker I've ever met.
You might want to speak up a little bit if you're trying to get public support for a cause.
Just a hair. Just a smidge.
I love that feeling, though, when you can't hear a word the other person's saying and you just, yeah, okay. Just kind of nod your head. You're like, I really hope I didn't say yes to something bad there. I really hope I didn't. Oh, you're going to volunteer for the next month every day? Sounds good. Here's your badge number, and we'll see you. We're going to go door to door.
Oh, it's... Yeah, that was an experience, but it was nice. It was a great day. It's good to be 38
Happy
years
birthday,
young.
Sprague.
Thank you.
Day late. Happy birthday.
Man. Another year around the sun.
Another Woo! Year.
Here we go.
Another year, another dollar.
Another day to make a... Well, we won't get into that. We have a loaded show today. Mike Jorgensen's going to join us at 7 a.m. We've got an early ticker today.
Early ticker, yeah. He said, I got a meeting at 7:30 to 8:30. Can I go earlier? I said, you got it, Jorgie. Go whatever you want, buddy.
Hey, Jorgie and his shorts are welcome on this show anytime. So we'll talk Big Ten title game with Jorgensen. We've got recruiting takeaways. Dan Lanning ended up flipping some guys. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We got some NFL to dabble into. College football, hot stove stuff, and the dirty poll is today. But we start with a little bit of a hodgepodge of this sport. I'll tell you which one it is next, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
I'd like to thank Dirt, getting ready to talk about some fun stuff. And right as the segment's about to start, he goes, hey, did you see that CEO of that health insurance company get
wild.
Shot mad?
Wild stuff.
No, I didn't actively try to seek that.
I didn't either, but it just kind of showed up on my Twitter feed. I actually saw the surveillance video. It was like, Why is this being shown to me?
I am on
bananas.
If I'm on a social media thing right now, it's largely either Instagram or Blue Sky. So like I legitimately have not been on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've missed probably a lot more of what's going on in the world because I don't have as my timeline on Blue Sky is not. I'm not seeing this stuff.
You're unplugged
anymore.
On that stuff.
I don't want to see that. That's
no,
terrible.
I mean, it's not a great video to watch. Yeah, guy got shot in the back of the
but
head.
But I love that it's just like getting thrown onto people's timelines. Like, I don't follow this person. Why is this playing?
I think the guy then took one of those city bikes. Like the city.
Oh, the ones you rent.
Oh, the rent. He escaped on one of those down an alley. Yeah. Wow. I haven't found him. Some gal was standing there drinking a cup of coffee. Like, just minding her, I think it was a gal, minding her business.
It was an obvious hit.
And then she realizes what's happening and just runs away.
The commentary, I've seen a lot of the reaction to the commentary, people reacting. Say, well, I wouldn't condone this, but let's talk about how awful they are.
We're doing like, one of those.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he was facing, federal charges for some money-related things about
Shocking.
Some accounts.
That,
yeah.
Health insurance?
Industry.
Scamming
Shady?
People.
No. No. No couldn't be.
They did it again yesterday. Your Oregon Ducks down again to a team, and don't worry, second half, Jackson Schellstad will score 21 points, and they'll outscore the Trojans by 15.
That first half felt exactly like the UP first half.
It really did.
They no-showed. They didn't care. They looked disinterested. I don't know much about USC. I just don't feel like USC is very good this year. So
they were 5-3 going into that.
Kind of questioning why are we down by 7 at USC to not a very good team. They don't even have Bronny James anymore. How are we losing this game by 7? And then the second half happens and they outscored him by 15 and they won the game comfortably by 8. I don't know if we're ever going to lose a game again, man. 45. How many games you play in college basketball? 35? 35-0. Here we go.
I mean, at this point, I'm just kind of inclined to believe that you guys will always be trailing and then eventually the other team just won't make a shot and you'll outscore them by 20.
It's one of those moments watching them that I'm just bummed we don't have access to gamble on college athletics for DraftKings in Oregon.
Just
the theme of their year, lie betting them every time they're trailing, I would have made a lot of money so far this year.
How did the Big Ten go for Oregon football, you might be asking? Well, they went undefeated and none of the powers that be have beaten them. We'll see what Penn State does in the Big Ten conference game. How's it going in basketball? Well, they're number one and they're undefeated, so, you know, it's already off to a rip-roaring start for the Big Ten with Oregon.
I don't know if we can handle it, though. I don't know. All that travel, I don't know if we can handle the line of scrimmage play on the basketball court. I don't know if we're going to be able to overcome that. We don't have the size and the strength to be able to hang with Big Ten teams.
I did enjoy, too, last night, seeing the Lakers lose by 36.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what happened there? I thought J.J. Redick was the darling of the NBA for the first week, and they were using motion, and they were moving the ball. And look at this. It's a functional offense. Then I saw a graphic yesterday that, like, who was their coach last year?
Darvin Ham.
Darvin Ham. Yeah. They were, like, 12-9 through the first 21 games, and this year they were 12-9 through the first 21 games.
Did you see Anthony Davis on the bench at the end of the game? He was like 2-14, I want to say, in the game. He had one of his worst games of his career.
Sounds like Anthony Davis.
LeBron is talking to him, and legitimately, he looks like he's trying not to cry. You want to go on Twitter, go seek out this video. LeBron is saying something to him. He's got a towel over his head, and you can only see his eyes, his nose, and his mouth, and legitimately his eyes look like they're watering. Like, he's, like, trying not to cry.
What are we doing
That is
here?
The funniest. That and the Sixers are the funniest story in the NBA right now, is watching them just absolutely crater those two franchises.
Well, it's interesting because you brought this up the other day about how you're not as engaged and locked into the NBA season
as
you normally have been in the past. And I think that's a natural thing. And we all go through those ebbs and flows of storylines or teams or your team or whatever, right? That's going to pull you in as a fan. I feel like one of the themes that I'm seeing now, I'm not an avid day in and day out NBA watcher. I'm a headline guy, you know, I'm a broad strokes guy when it comes to basketball. I feel like one of the themes that I've seen, this happened with Denver a couple of weeks ago. They were in L.A., and they just got obliterated in a game. Yeah. And Jamal Murray in the aftermath was like, dude, we got guys who are from L.A., they live in L.A., we all went out and had a good time last night. Not an excuse, but that's why we lost this game by 40. I saw the J.J. Redick comments after the game of, like, there was no intent, there was no purpose, there was no effort, that just we looked like we were going through the motions. It feels like that is becoming, not that it hasn't been a problem in the past for the league, of just the care level on any given night.
It just wanes.
And what you're like, some nights it's good and it's, hey, this is a good matchup and we're going to give you your all. And then some nights we're playing who and we're not going to show up. And it's like, as a fan, why am I investing my time in that if you're making $50 million and you don't even care about this game?
Yeah.
It's a really hard sell to the fans.
Well, Wemby's going to be here next Friday. And my brother-in-law and I have talked about wanting to go see Wemby. And so, you know, paying a decent dollar to go see Wemby is something that I'm kind of interested in. It's not even so much a Blazer thing. Go seeing Shaden and hopefully Scoot.
Yeah, hopefully he's back.
All those guys, that'd be great. But we're like, we're going to wait till next Thursday because tickets are just like kind of up in the air. I don't know how Wemby is as a draw. Is he one of those players in the league that if he comes to your town, are you kind of like, I want to see this guy. He's an alien. It doesn't make any sense. Or is he a good player, a great player who's young? And you kind of say, I don't want to spend that kind of money on an NBA game in the regular season.
Yeah, I guess I would want to know what the comparison is between, like, an Anthony Edwards.
Like, who is the best draw to you? Like, you're not a big NBA guy in general, right? And I heard a podcast that Bill Simmons did with a tech guy months ago, and I may have shared this on the show. The guy made a great point. He said, I think people follow the NBA through podcasts and social media.
Yes.
I don't think people actually tune in to watch the games day in, day out and you can actually still follow the league. Like, Dirt, I could give you 5 minutes and say, talk about the NBA.
Yeah, I could do it.
And you could admittedly say, I don't watch the games, and you could probably kind of sum up what's been happening so far.
I saw a tweet the other day that LaMelo Ball is averaging 31 points per game.
He got hurt again.
Oh, he did again? Yeah. Again? Yeah. Was it speeding out of the locker room? Was that how he got hurt? No, okay.
No, he didn't hit a little kid's foot with his car.
Didn't run a fan over this time.
Train.
But wasn't driving around on his roof on his go-kart or whatever.
No.
But who is... who is somebody that gets you to contemplate from a text from a buddy or a family member that says, Dirt,
hey, let's go to the game.
Let's go to a game. You're not working tomorrow, so you don't have to worry about the time stuff, and your wife's cool with it.
Yeah.
Who is a player, or who is the player that gets you to spend a little more on a bad Blazer game than you'd want to admit?
This actually is probably not a great sign for the NBA, because my answer would likely still be the old guard. And I
like
know
a Steph, a LeBron, a KD.
Or KD. I think
who's also out now.
Who's out now, too. I know.
Just got hurt.
Dame comeback game. But that's a little bit different. I'll take that out from the local rooting interest angle, because that definitely would be the biggest one. Because
that's Giannis as well.
You get Giannis as well in that mix. Like, I love a lot of the other young players. Anthony Edwards is awesome. But am I going to spend over the top to go see Anthony Edwards live in person? I don't know.
Not
I don't
if
know
he's going to be 1 from 10 from 3.
No. It just sometimes it's not an entertaining brand of basketball. Not that LeBron is playing an entertaining brand of basketball this year, but at least there's the checking the box. I've seen LeBron in person a couple times. I don't know if I've ever seen KD, and I have seen Steph. But
I've luckily seen all of them.
You know, it's like a box that you check. Of like, that's one of the greatest of all time, and I want to go see him. And I don't know if one of the other young waves has captivated me to that point.
Luka
would be fun. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to go see him, but if it's a 25% increase on what the tickets normally cost, am I willing to go that far for Luka?
Tatum Brown?
No.
Celtics don't do that?
I've been to a Celtics game. It's not fun. It's too many Celtics fans there.
Really?
Turns into like a home game.
Is
a lot
that
of green.
What a Curry game is like here?
Yeah,
I've been to
that's,
those.
That's fair. Laker games are that way as well.
Yeah, they are.
The Celtics are just like, oh, I wouldn't.
Celtics game's fun in Boston.
In Boston, yeah.
Arena's much better than Moda.
Peyton Pritchard would be my answer, by
Brunson?
The way.
Right.
Peyton Pritchard. Dylan Brooks.
Pritchard's actually the leading... it's early, but he's in Vegas right now. He's the leading
for
six man of
Look
the year.
At that. Let's go, Peyton Pritchard.
He's having a great year.
Yeah. To your original question, I don't know where Wemby falls in that list. He would be relatively high for me though. Like of the next wave of young players,
I just want to see it in person. I've seen it a lot on TV.
Yeah.
I just want to see it operate in person.
That's one that I feel like you want to be close to the floor too, to like
we're
get
looking
a
at tickets.
Real sense of holy crap, he's big.
$60 for the lower bowl right now.
Yeah, no, it's
for
cheap.
The Spurs game next week.
Not bad.
It's cheap.
That's not bad.
Deal. Aren't very good, but
no.
We saw two tickets yesterday that were $370, but it's front row right behind the bench.
Oh, and let's go.
And you get a parking pass.
That's and you get deal. Courtside service, so if you want a beer, it's brought to you, albeit slowly.
But that's so much money.
That is a lot of money for one night.
And that's the
well, the other fear, too, is so
what experience just isn't good at Moda.
It's not?
Courtside experience is not good at Moda?
No, because so when you go to crypto.com, when you go to other stadiums and their courtside experience, you get immediate service. There's multiple bar options that are separate from the one above, you know, like
on the
upper
there's
bowl.
An exclusive one.
And in Portland at the Moda, it's literally one restaurant and there's like a concession down there. Now, it's been 3 years since I've been to Courtside, but it looked like they hadn't updated anything and given any people more options than they had. Well, like, you had to go up to the 100 Bowl.
If you didn't want to eat at that one restaurant down there. Yeah.
Where are my VIP options? Where's my service?
To be fair, though, too, this isn't a Courtside seat. This is the row behind the visitor bench, so I get to sit behind Wemby.
What if he sits in front of you? Then you won't be able to see any of the game.
Touche.
It's going to be he's towering over you,
I
man.
I told my brother-in-law, I'm like, are we going to be the guys that talk trash and are seeing, like, Wemby hits a three and he points at us and we're the guys like, oh, no.
You're sitting behind him the whole game. Hey, Wemby, you're a bitch.
Say that in French.
Go back to France. Where's your baguette?
Hey, you're what we call les incompetents.
It's like all the French I know. It's like Home Alone references from the 90s.
That is such a good pull. The other tough part that you have, and this kind of highlights the problem of the league, though, I don't know. They sometimes don't play him on back-to-backs, right? Aren't they a little cautious with him?
Well, so here's the thing. You're right, but here's the other part of this. He doesn't come back to Portland till like the sixth to last game of the year.
So this is kind of it.
So this might be it of like him playing, and I don't even know if he's guaranteed. That's the other part of that league. They can't guarantee who's going to play and not play. It's like, what if I spend $300 and he's walking out in a French suit? I don't want to see that. I don't want to watch the Spurs without Wemby.
He should be in the lineup. So they play on Sunday the 8th at home against New Orleans. And then I'm assuming that next week is the Cup. I'm assuming, because they don't play again until Friday.
Game. Right, right.
So they're off for the whole week. So Wemby
should play.
That's their first game after the cup break, which I love that now everybody just gets a week off in the season while the cup teams play. It's just a very...
The whole thing's
weird. It's a whole thing's weird. Hey, go Ducks, though, huh?
Hey, Duke won last night, too.
Duke did win. I saw Danny Hurley was losing his mind again, like headbutting a player on the sideline again last night.
I've swapped sides. I hate that guy.
I know. I think I flip-flopped
but
on
I
him,
wouldn't
too.
Want him as the coach.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
No, he wouldn't work. He wouldn't work.
He wouldn't work?
In the NBA or for the Ducks?
Because
people
NBA.
Were talking about the Lakers Ducks. Job. You really think LeBron's going to kowtow to that headbutting? LeBron's going to turn right the hell around and walk away.
What about Shaden Sharp?
I don't think Shaden talks very much now.
Yeah.
So probably wouldn't say much then either.
We also had the number one Jayhawks go down last night in
we
college
did.
Hoops. Creighton knocked him off.
Yeah, we did.
Rushed the court.
Who's good in college? Just the Oregon? Just Oregon's the only good team?
Cooper Flagg was pretty damn good last night. They knocked off Auburn. I watched a little bit of that game.
I watched a lot of that. They did that mostly without Knipple doing anything.
They did. No Knipple last night.
No nips. No nips out.
Didn't matter.
Let's get to the dirty poll. We'll do it next on The Fan. All right, we're going to turn and burn here because I screwed us on the clock as usual. We got Mike Jorgensen coming up at 7. The Ducks with a big flip yesterday. This was one of them.
Jaren Sagapotule, whatever, you know.
Which aged really well for me because I'm like, you know, they don't need to put the bag on the quarterback. Flipped him.
I got two of them, Akili Smith Jr. and that kid.
That one we knew. The other one was either Cal or Oregon. And then later on in the day, they flipped a 5-star DB from Alabama, who everybody thought was a lock to go Ohio State. And then that kid basically had a quote of, Phil Knight's going to help me make a shoe.
Damn right he is.
And the college football world collectively chuckled. And I don't think Oregon fan denies anything. And they go, yeah, well, this is the world we live in.
Make a shoe, man. I don't care. He'll design it for you. You get the Phil Knight Naeem offered shoe. We'll do whatever it takes to get a recruit.
Can't wait for everybody to be wearing those on game day.
You know that they will. They made the ice cream cone t-shirts. Everybody bought those. That's how we do. We're a flock of one.
So I want to talk about all of that. let's get to the dirty poll as we do every Thursday with the college football playoff rankings released going into conference championship. What is the final? This is going to be a prediction for
the final.
This
is the final
one, right?
Dirty poll we're doing for the year. It's been a brutal year. Dirty poll's had a rough go. Now,
from the start,
I would like to point out, actually, we can have a fun game of that maybe early next week. We can go back and look at preseason dirty poll and laugh at all the. Because I have that
you
saved.
Had some good ones.
I had a couple of good ones. There are a few in there. I'm like, that was a great idea. But we'll go through it. It'll be kind of fun. I like doing it at the end of the year. I picked a horrible year to change the format of the Dirty Poll, where I'm trying to predict what it will be at the end of the year instead of just ranking my top 10 teams every single week. Much easier to do that. Mm-hmm. Trying to predict what it's going to look like at the end of the year in a year where there's been nothing but chaos and teams losing games they shouldn't. Bad idea on my part, but what the hell. Let's go down swinging one last time, okay? We're swinging for the fences. I'm Bryce Betcher right now. Okay. We'll see how it goes. Number one seed will remain. I think Oregon's going to win the Big Ten championship. I think it's a close game. I like the matchup for them. Favored by 3.5. Won't be a blowout. One score game probably. I'll take Dylan Gabriel, quarterback advantage. Give me Oregon number one. I think Georgia's going to back up their win in the SEC title game.
Wow.
I know they didn't look great against Georgia Tech. Texas has also had a lot of games where they've been clunky offensively. There will be more arch. That wouldn't surprise me. But I like the matchup for Georgia's defense against that Texas offense. Low scoring. I think Georgia finds a way to win the game. Number three. Here we go. I don't know why everybody's just kind of giving it a foregone conclusion. This team's not going to win. The point spread in the game is only 2. And I hate to do it to my guy because I love Kenny Dillingham. I'm taking Iowa State. I think they have the head coaching advantage. Matt Campbell's been in games like this before.
They're going to jump to the 3 seed.
Who else is going to be the 3 seed?
Wait.
It's format. I got to do the format.
I need you to not give me a game analysis by every team in your rank.
Sorry, let me just go through it and go back through. Okay, all right. I'll go all the way through, and then we'll come revisit, okay? Number three will be Iowa State, Big 12 champ, when they beat Arizona State this weekend. Number four will be the Clemson Tigers when they beat SMU this weekend.
I know what he's doing.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I know who 12 is going to be.
That's your top four. Number five will be Texas. 2 losses to Georgia. I think they get the number one outside of the bye rankings.
Okay.
Number six will be Penn State. 2 close losses to Ohio State and Oregon. Not going to punish them for that. I think both of them should be ranked ahead of Notre Dame because they would have lost a game that Notre Dame would not have had to play this weekend. Notre Dame comes in at number 7. Then you get into the 2 lost teams outside of conference championship games, that is. Ohio State, number 8. Hosting Tennessee, number 9,
what
also at 10-2.
Seven?
Notre Dame, 7. Okay. Notre Dame, 7. Ohio State, 8. Tennessee, 9. 10's going to be Indiana hanging out there at 11-1. They hung 66 on Purdue this past weekend in the snow. That was kind of a fun game. Number 11, and I'll die on this hill. I'm going to look like the Sprague idiot from last year with Florida State. I don't think they're going to punish the team for losing a conference championship game. I think SMU gets number 11. And number 12.
I love that you have SMU over Bama.
Will be the UNLV Running Rebels.
Oh,
that is
wow.
Your dirty poll.
You got the Friday upset.
So I think I got UNLV beating Boise on Friday.
Yes, you do.
I think Clemson's going to win the ACC title game this weekend. Hmm. And I think Iowa State. This is funny. These aren't even big up. The point spread in the ACC title game and the Big 12 title game is less than a field goal.
Well, I don't think people would view those as big upsets. We are concluding with Arizona State Boise that they're going to win in a way of like, hey, this is who is in because we just saw the rankings with an image.
Yes.
I don't think people would, you know, following the weekend, come in Monday and go, guys, I can't believe UNLV and Clemson won. I
am shocked.
Or Iowa State, I should say.
I just haven't loved the way that Boise's been playing for basically a month
now. And it's squeaking by. JT's banged up. Yeah, there's a recipe there. UNLV game was a little, it was closer than the score indicates, because I think they had a pick six at the end of that game.
Yeah, the final of that game was 29-24, the first time they played at UNLV.
Oh, maybe I'm
in
thinking
regular
the San
season.
Jose State game. There was a game in there where
the
Boise
San Jose
was
State game was back and forth and tight, and then they had a defensive touchdown, and it ended up being on bad beats for SVP, because I think San Jose State was like plus 14.5,
okay,
and they threw a pick six late in that
so
game.
So Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Iowa State 3, Clemson 4, winning the ACC. 5 is Texas. They would host UNLV.
First round matchups would suck, by the way, if this is what it is.
Yeah, Penn State would host SMU. Those are both double-digit favorites.
Yes.
Notre Dame would host Indiana. I think they'd be like a 5 to 6 point
the
favorite.
The Battle of Indiana.
Yeah.
The only good one would be Tennessee-Ohio State, or interesting game going.
And I would take Tennessee.
I probably would, too.
I know that's in Ohio State. I would take Tennessee on that
one. With the way their defense is playing and Ohio State's offensive line, I also just don't know what their mentality is going to be coming off the loss to Michigan.
We got Jorgensen at the top of the hour. I want to come back with some college football thoughts and some storylines that were released yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next. There's the Dirty Poll. We'll put it out on social media. Dirt and Sprague back with more on the Fan. Mike Jorgensen at the top of the hour. Ducks in the Big Ten title game. I turned 38. Dirt's getting up in that age ladder as well. And Dirt utters the words before we come back from break. How are we not wearing the green and the yellow from the Rose Bowl for this weekend as the Ducks release their uniform of black and green?
Yeah, they're going the all blacks. The green helmets are sick. I'll give them that. I don't know if they've worn those this year. I have a dream.
Well, let's not get into that.
And my dream is that at one point my team wears school colors in a big game. Yeah.
The Raiders won last week.
The Raiders dominated the Huskies.
Great game against the Huskies.
Dominated the Huskies. We wore our best uniforms of the year in week 4 against UCLA.
Oh, the road whites?
It was the yellow pants, the yellow helmet, the white
the
with
ones.
The green trim, the throwback look. They were gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just awe-inspiring. And we used them in week 4 for a 7:30 kick on a Saturday night at UCLA.
Hot take. I don't mind the yellow not being in there. I like the green. I like the black. I'm a huge fan of the Warp Speed Stormtrooper look. Like I've been looking on eBay trying to get like that white jersey with the color-changing letters or numbers this year. And I'm probably about to pull the trigger on a jersey over sticker price. But I am loving the Ducks without the yellow.
I'm not anti-black uni. I'm not anti-white uni. I'm not... The gray and the silver can go for me.
It is weird.
I thought that was odd.
The helmets or whatever, they're kind of cool if you do them like once a year, but that, whatever.
The chrome or whatever.
Are there any real Duck fans willing? Because you guys are doing this, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Is there any real Duck fans that just don't swallow all of this crap?
Yeah.
And just are honest and like, just wear these two kick-ass colors?
We had big games the last 2 years where we dressed like an Oreo McFlurry, you know? That happened.
Yeah.
So let's not do that again. That'd be great.
Three white guys screaming on the internet this morning.
It's not the black jersey thing. The black jerseys are sick. I have no issue with them. It's just the big game thing.
Yeah.
Every time they play in a big game, they don't just wear green and yellow. And that's frustrating. Like, you want to wear these black jerseys on a Friday night against Michigan State? By all means, dude, blackout. It's great. Let's do it. But like Ohio State, Big Ten championship game. When they get to the playoff, they're wearing their all silvers. They look like a bullet out there. Come on. Give me green and yellow.
Probably means Penn State's rocking the all white look then if Oregon's going black and green.
I don't think they have anything other than all white on the road. I think
Penn State's pretty traditional.
Yeah, they only have white pants and then they have a blue or a white jersey and that's it.
We'll get to Jorgensen at the top of the hour. I quite enjoyed two headlines in college football yesterday
The first was Ryan Day saying, no, guys, I don't want to leave. This is the best job in America.
I'm happy here.
Yeah, you're lucky to have it there, Ryan.
God.
Yeah, you want to talk about privilege. My God,
well, yeah,
Ryan
just
Day.
Elevated. You're lucky Urban Meyer just kind of sucked at policing his staff. Like, let's point out why he originally got the job there, Ryan.
And then the other one was Lincoln Riley had to respond to a report that University of Central Florida was going to reach out to try to poach him from USC. And he had to say, no, I'm happy here. I don't want to leave. LA is where I want to be. And I love that he had to respond to a UCF report.
Wild how the mighty have fallen. That's where we're at 3 years into his tenure, that Central Florida thinks they can take their shot with Lincoln Riley.
Boy, that's a bold little move by them to even put that in the headlines of like,
hey, this guy went 6-6. He's probably going to be 7-5 next year. We all know you're going to fire him at some point. You don't want to afford, you can't afford that buyout, USC. How about we help each other out here? I'll scratch your back, you scratch ours. We'll give you 20% of the buyout. He'll become our head coach.
It is interesting how quickly we're firing people in that business, isn't it?
It happens rapidly, man. It does. That those weren't even the only coaching storylines that cracked me up yesterday. You see what Brian Kelly did yesterday? Him and his family.
I may have missed it.
Oh, he was crying poor. Oh. How are we going to compete in this new NIL era? I mean, I'm at LSU where there's clearly no money to spend. There's no big boosters. They got one of the top corners in the country, DJ Pickett. I'm sure he's playing for free. He didn't get any sort of NIL deal. And he said, you know, it's a shame that all these guys just go for the money instead of fit and what's best for them. Okay, Brian.
You know, you could shave off $1 million and make 8.2 instead of 9.2, help your NIL collective out. Other coaches, and I'm not just
maybe Bryce
this.
Underwood would have signed with you if you would have given him an extra $1 million.
No, yeah, Connor Stallions is a high school coach. He was always going to end up in Michigan.
I just like, if you want to be Trent Bray or, you know, somebody like, hey, how are we going to compete in this NIL? I get it, dude. That's a valid argument, and you're kind of screwed, and there's not really a pathway to do it. You're at LSU.
I know.
You've been paying guys. You don't think Odell Beckham got paid to go to LSU? You don't think Joe Burrow got paid when he was at LSU?
Jamarcus Russell.
You're LSU, and you're crying poor.
You make $80 million a year in your media deal.
Yes. It might even be north of that with all the playoff bowl tie-in crap. You're going to make like $100 million.
Your gymnastics teams makes money. Your women's basketball teams makes money. Your baseball team. They are one of the best athletic institutions in America. They have like four sports.
Their baseball team just won the College World Series with Paul Skeens.
Dirt, think about this. Oregon's got great track, great football, right?
The
baseball team's not bad. The basketball team's obviously off to a great start. The women's team's had some success. How many programs in America have four different teams, men and women, that make a profit?
Yeah.
LSU is one of those. They're however of many there are, LSU is definitely one of them.
They had an Amazon Prime documentary following their athletes.
And they're crying poor.
And they're crying poor.
Boy, that's why I didn't see that.
We can't. How are we supposed to compete with all this NIL money getting spent?
Let's get to the second hour. I want to get to a recruiting story that came out about your program and just how funny it is, the reaction in the college sports landscape to what one recruit said yesterday. But let's kick off the second hour. The Daily Ticker is going to be early. Hour two, Mike Jorgensen, longtime play-by-play guy of the Oregon Ducks, joins us next. Hour two on the Fan and the Odyssey app.